in the 70s, 80s, and 90s was the best time to be alive. It was the best era for storytellers and songwriters, and their cult classics became the anthems and soundtracks that shaped our lives. After the Telecommunications Act of 1996, the corporate takeover began, starting with the local radio stations, concert venues, and promoters. Soon after, the consolidation of the studios and the media. Within a few decades, these companies had control over everything. The concepts, everything that was written, produced, distributed, and eventually consumed. Albert Einstein once said, "Everything that is great and inspiring is created by the individual who can labor in freedom." As artists, we believe that the free flow of ideas is vital to a strong culture. It is long past time for a new independent entertainment ecosystem. An ecosystem that is not governed by gatekeepers and the corporations, but rather by those who create and consume it. At Criado, we are building that new ecosystem. A system that will empower filmmakers, musicians, entertainers, and podcasters to freely create and distribute all of their content in one location. A system where they can control their earning potential, protect their intellectual property, and engage directly with and build communities around their loyal fans. As we begin the next phase of development, we would love you to be a part of this. To restore freedom for all artists, including filmmakers, musicians, comedians, writers, producers, podcasters, and things that don't even exist yet. We believe that the future of entertainment will be delivered here on Criado.
Three, two, one.
How's it going, everybody? This is the Alpha Warrior Show. I'm your host, Alpha. The soundboard went crazy there for a second. You guys are going to, at the end of this show, you're going to be like, come on, Alpha, like go another hour, go a couple hours. You're going to want more of this. Trust me. I'm going to want more of this. The guest that I have today, Mike King, an author of like some pivotal information that has been kept from you. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still being kept from you. We're going to talk about his story of how they have like tried to completely rug pull him to make it just impossible to survive and get this information out there. But before we do that, streaming ain't free. Alpha's got his battles to take care of. So let's get to a sponsor real quick. First on deck, GoldCo, protecting your investments with gold and silver made simple. AlphaLikesGold.com. That's AlphaLikesGold.com. I'm the Marine. I chew crayons. I'm not going to pretend to be an economic expert, but I am a person with common sense. And when I look at what's going on around me, I'm like, we're in trouble. Countries moving over to BRICS. I'm not saying BRICS is good. I'm not saying it's bad, but it does affect the U.S. dollar. There's just a lot of stuff going on, you guys. And it's always the little guy that gets hurt while politicians, the elite, run away and protect their investments. Just get the information from my team over there at GoldCo. And if it works for you, you want to start something new, great. If it's not, at least have the information. You've worked too hard for your retirement. It's meant for you. It's meant for your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, your great-great-grandbabies. This is your legacy. Don't let the elite run off with it. They're buying crazy amounts of gold and silver. It's for a reason. And so all I can say is meet with the team. The experts there at GoldCo will tell you what you need to know. And then next on deck, Christmas is around the corner, y'all, and you're probably walking around some ugly slippers. So I think Mike got something for you.
I'm excited to announce that we're bringing back our best offer ever on our original My Slippers. You save $90 a pair with your promo code. And now My Slippers come in even more sizes. Smaller sizes, larger sizes, wide sizes, and all new styles and colors. Get them for your friends, your family, your neighbors, everyone you know. What makes My Slippers different is my exclusive four-layer design that you're not going to find in any other slippers. My Slippers' patented layers make them ultra comfortable, extremely durable, and they help relieve stress on your feet. I'm so confident that you and everyone you know are going to love my slippers that I'm extending my 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2024, making them the best Christmas gifts ever. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now. Use your promo code to save $90. That's only $49.98 a pair. Quantities won't last long, so please order now.
They're comfortable. I'll tell you guys that much. My Pillow or my store, if you want to enjoy some coffee like Alpha does, get it from there. Beard Vet, all those good guys. Promo code Alpha works everywhere. Go and get the good stuff, you guys. Remember, alphalikesgold.com for Gold Co. And then, of course, the one that I always fail to mention, my website, thealphawarriorshow.tv. New website is up and running. And surprisingly, we got some huge sponsors and affiliates on there. Rhino, Pelican Briefs, Brunel's, Oakley. I mean, I think it's saying something because they know the content we bring and they're willing to dabble into that. Maybe we're making some traction and cancel culture is not so scary for these, you know, big, you know, so to speak, sponsors. So check all that out. Enjoy it. Leave me a comment. Leave me an email. Tell me your story. If you got a guess, send it to me. Now, let me bring up the person you guys really want to hear from tonight. Mike King. How are you doing, brother?
Alpha, good to be with you.
I'm excited for Thank you, man. You know, I love when I get to, you know, not just have a conversation, but learn something, you know, and I know it's an old saying, but, you know, if you're not learning something every day, what are you doing? You know, and, you know, I haven't had a chance to read all of your material, but I'm going to get there. You know, that's a guarantee. But man, let's start off here. You know, what kind of made you go down the realm of, I'm going to write a book? And then what made you choose this genre?
Well, I've always been fascinated by history ever since I was a child. And that was the fake history, which I found interesting. I didn't learn until later on it was fake. And the motto at my website, realnewsandhistory.com, is fake history is the fake news that has passed into the rearview mirror. And it really is. I mean, I don't have to tell your listeners that everything out there is fake today, but it goes deeper than that. It was 20 years ago, 30, 40, 50, even 100 years ago. So it's not enough just to say, you know, what's going on today. I want the truth. You have to go back, way back early in the math equation and unravel all that stuff and throw it out because everything builds on each other. You really can't understand the modern day unless you know real history. So that's been my passion for a long time. And it was only about it was back in 2013 where I decided, you know, let me get this down on paper or on a website and begin writing about it just for, I mean, I'm sure you could identify with it. It's just not, you have all this knowledge and this truth in you and everyone else believes in a lie. And if you're a person of any kind of character and it starts to bother you, right, and you want to share it and put it forth. And that was my initial motivation, just put it out there for no reason at all. And I just found people, my original website was tomatobubble.com and that was killed. But I found that, you know, people were really interested in the stuff that I knew, the knowledge I had acquired and the research I was doing it. So I then began to make this an enterprise, a full-time endeavor and write books about it and so on. So I went down this road completely by accident, by chance, but there was such a demand for this kind of knowledge. The kind of people who are waking now want to know what's going on, you know, and it follows naturally. They're also going to want to know what went on 10, 40, 50, 60, 100 years ago because it's still relevant. It's the same. The cabal has been around 250 years.
Well, so what's that famous
people
saying,
eat my
Mike?
Stuff up for that reason.
what's that famous saying? If you want to know where you're going, you got to know where you've been.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. If you don't know real history, you're like someone with Alzheimer's walking around a crowded shopping mall. You just can't figure out where you are. And so it's so important to know this stuff. And what I do, this is my niche, my specialty. I tie the history in with the current events, and I keep everything simple, concise, lots of pictures. I don't write these encyclopedias. So because I'm an activist at heart, I want people to come up the learning curve quick. and not that he was going to sit there and read the 1,000-page books that I have or dig through the old archives of the New York Slimes like have. So that's what's really unique about my work. I take this much knowledge, and it's like those juicers. You put the stuff in there. You put 100 pounds of veggies in there, and you get a shot glass, and that's all you need. So that's what I do with history, current events, news, economics. It all ties in together. So I started writing these books, and I got on Amazon. And again, this was just organically, people liking my stuff and then telling others about it and sharing it. And back in the day, when you got on Amazon, by that time I had like kind of my own following. If you could generate your first wave of sales, Amazon would start, they would pick up on that, and then they would start marketing you. So I had a book on there called The Bad War, The Truth Never Taught About World War II, and it just exploded for a couple of years. And then I wrote a book about the war against Vladimir Putin, and then there was the Planet Rothschild series, and it just kept expanding. And the more you sell, the more Amazon promotes you. And then a funny thing happened. This went on for like 2-3 years. Those were my glory years, 2016, 17, 18. It was sometime in early 2018, there was a wave of bomb threats were being called in to Jewish community centers all over the country. And the ADL started pressuring Amazon to take off any kind of books that revisited that era of World War II. Okay, because it's not what we were told. And they resisted, believe it or not. They resisted all of these censorship efforts by the ADL. They would just ignore them. But then came this wave of threats and this vandalism that was going on against the Jewish community centers. And eventually they traced it to a guy in Israel who was doing it. Surprise, surprise. But Amazon held firm. And then finally there was an incident in Seattle at it was a vandalism incident at a Jewish cemetery and another one at a synagogue. And then Amazon, they caved in. So they removed 30 books that were dealing with that era, anything revising, you know, the whole World War II and what came out of it. So the Bad War, which was my flagship, my bestseller, it got whacked. I mean, all my books are still available at realnewsandhistory.com. But you know, that's how Amazon did to me. And then later on, I started doing videos, YouTube. They whacked me. Google suppresses, they suppress my site. I mean, you know how all that goes. But up until early 2018, the internet was remarkably quite free. Put anything on YouTube or Amazon. But that's how it started. And I was on the first wave of like authors and writers who was on their radar. Because once they had this incident at the synagogue, and then Amazon, it was like days later, it was 30 books were banned, and mine was one of them. So evidently they had the list ready to go. So I was already like being targeted back then. But you know, we carry on, we persevere. I get knocked down, I get up again, I appear somewhere else. But it's been relentless. PayPal, Patreon, YouTube. Google, all kinds of like harassment just to keep my work from getting out there because like I said, my work is uniquely dangerous for them because I could write heavy academic stuff if I wanted to, but that's not what I'm going after. I want to reach everybody. I want somebody who's got no knowledge of this or who thinks that they're not really that educated or smart and they can get my stuff and say, wow, it's like a Matrix moment. So that's really how you got to go after these people. You know, I mean, the heavy duty intellectual stuff is great, but you gotta communicate to everybody, and not everybody's got the time or the inclination to tackle that stuff. I just give it to you quick and concise and blow your mind. So that's what I do.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, until we start developing these parallel economies, you know, these are the places we have to work with. And I always say Amazon is like the digital Walmart. You know, you go in there to buy bread and the next thing you know, you're at the grocery cart with bread, you know, tire inflator, toy for the kid, extra socks, you know, milk, chips. Yeah. You know, when somebody's deplatformed from something like that, it really affects you because you know, people could be going there looking for, you know, some other book, something they heard. And then all of a sudden it populates, you know, keywords or something populates your book. And someone who not would have ever seen it or known about it sees it, now buys it. Now that's an educated person. That person takes that information and says, holy smokes, I need to share this. Hey, go buy this book. And so there's this, you know, sequential consequence that continues just because of censorship. And that's why it's so important for patriots in this movement, even patriots that are like, oh, I kind of knew that. Well, good. But does your neighbor, does your coworker, you know, does your mother-in-law or ex-mother-in-law, like it's the great awakening, you know, if we want this ascension of consciousness, it starts with learning. And learning's old school. Got to go to the books. Got to go to the books. Got to find the information. Then you vet it. You know, you do your best to corroborate what's there. And this is the other hard thing, you know, because I get a lot of people, well, I thought you said this. And, you know, I went on Google, you know, this debunked it and this debunked it. I said, do me a favor, send me the article. And so they'll send me the article. And I'll go down to the bottom of the article and I'll screenshot it. And, you know, it's the Times that's sourcing, you know, the AP. So then I go to the AP article and the AP is sourcing, you know, a news clip from CNN. And ultimately what you find is you never find a source that's a source. It's just it's this circular thing that they do. And I tell the people, look for this. It's really simple. You know, now go to someone like you or these other people, these independent journalists, and go down at the bottom and they'll tell you, hey, I got it from this book. I got it from this news article. Hey, this is from, you know, microfiche at the library under this code, you know. And it's like, it's real sourced information. And that's what people need to hear because, you know, and I'll give it back to you here, Mike. I heard it and I like to repeat it. If you want to know who's in charge, see who you're not allowed to talk about, you know. And that's a start. So how are you making things, you know, survive going through this deplatform? I mean, right now, is it just your website that's going on? You know, when people's, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the New World Order, you know, and, you know, modern day version. If people see this and they're like, I want this, I want to learn more, they go to realnewsandhistory.com. But is there any other way for them to find you? Social media, Twitter, Truth, YouTube channels, anything like that?
Yeah, I'm on Truth Social. I mean, if you go to the website, you'll see like my links and stuff. And I maintain a free mailing list, and then I've got like a core group of like podcasters, radio guys that I speak to. So, you know, I still keep my name out there. You know, just the growth is a little challenging. Because it was exciting during those days because Amazon would be fueling my growth and the search engines would be fueling the growth. And that's how it was back then. If you put out, you had to put out good stuff and you had to get your initial following. But if you could achieve that, they would do the rest for you. It truly was like a people's platform, all of them, Amazon. At one point, if you put in World War II on an Amazon search engine for books, I was reaching the front page, which is amazing. And it was really appealing because it's the only book saying, hey, the conventional story is not true. But, you know, you said something interesting about how they quote each other. I coined the phrase the circle jerk historians because that's exactly what they do. They cite each other in a never-ending circle. I don't know if you used to watch the old Honeymooners with Jackie Gleason.
Uh-uh.
The old black and white before your time. Okay. Well, there's an episode, and Ralph Cramden, the main character. He's always got a scheme going on. He's a bus driver, and there's a promotion coming up. So he starts a rumor in the, you know, in the cafeteria that he's already been tapped for promotion. And everyone's like, hey, Ralph's getting promotion. Did you hear? There's a big rumor going on. And then finally the supervisor comes in. He goes, okay, who started it? Who's behind this? What's going on here? What are they talking about? He says, who said Cramden's getting promoted? Was it you, Bill? He says, no, I got it from Mike. Mike's like, no, I got it from Pete. Pete says, I got it from Ralph. So Ralph started his own circle jerk just to create this. And that's exactly what they do. And I find this all the time. You'll see like a book that's supposedly footnoted and sourced. And then you dig deeper and you realize, okay, well, the guy he's getting it from, where'd he get it? Where'd he get it? You never get to the original source. And all my stuff, I make sure I don't publish anything unless I can get to an original source and that can be, you know, corroborated by other sources. And oftentimes, believe it or not, one of my favorite go-to sources, and this may sound paradoxical, is the New York Times. I'm like, what? The New York Times? But wait a minute. There's something in the legal profession called testimony against interest, meaning if you say something that goes against your general what you are, you could take that as, well, he slipped up, he told the truth. So in other words, you can find all these truth gems, particularly in old issues of the New York Times, where they put something out because they have to create the illusion of being objective. So they'll put these little, so you can hang them on their own facts that they put out. But there's all kinds of like logical, you know, devices and tricks you can use to get to something and say, okay, this is truly a fact that could be originally sourced, corroborated, even by both sides of an issue. So that's the kind of stuff you have to do when you're digging. But all too often, people just say, well, you footnoted it or you cited this. But it's just an endless circle of liars and idiots quoting each other. And you have to be on guard, really critical when you're researching this stuff. But I'm aware of all this stuff, and it never creeps into my work. And I got to say, my stuff is solid. If I got any doubts, you know, I don't put it in there.
Well, a mutual friend we have, Ron from the Untold History Channel, I always tell everybody, this guy is a walking encyclopedia. Like from the very first conversation I had with Ron, I was like, where do you store all of that? Like, it was so impressive. And then when he reached out, and he's like, man, you got to interview Mike King. And I was like, tell me about him. So he starts telling me, he's like, this guy's like 10 times smarter than me. And I'm like, what? Is that even possible? So when you have that kind of reference from someone that I know is brilliant, I mean, that says a lot. Let me ask you this as an author, and then we'll get into this New World Order stuff. And I know the younger generation that watches can be like, shut up, Alpha. But, you know, I'm 44, you know, I have a comfort knowing that I got an actual physical book in my hand. And I know that, you know, we do the online, you know, you have these, you know, Amazon Fires and all these other, and it's this ease of having all these things in one spot, you know. But as an author, you know, am I too worried to say that we need to go back to actually just buying the book with the pages and having that?
Yeah, that's definitely important. You know, I say people, if they like something, if they can get it also in a hard copy, like do so, or at least in PDF. Because, you know, at any time, this stuff could go. And then once it's gone, it's, you know, so I back everything up. So this is nothing like a paper book. And it's just, I don't know. I think people who are used to just electronic, maybe if they force themselves to read some of the paper stuff, they might get to like it. You could go like on a beach or sit in your, under a tree or something. There's something like a romantic about that. But that definitely paper's important. But you know, everybody's got their preference. So you got to hit this from all ends, you know, whether it's videos, websites, books. But I do like the books, and all of my books are large format, 8.5 by 11 with tons of pictures, you know, very, very, very easy to read. Which is, you know, important because, like, how often, like, we'll buy a book we're interested in. It's got 600-700 pages, no pictures, and your mind starts to drift. You know, we have a different mentality these days because of the digital world. You know, in one sense, it's a blessing. In another sense, you know, I think it affects our attention spans. But you know, all my books are almost like watching a movie while you're reading. And I've been told many, many times, I got your book, Mike. I read it in one sitting, or I read it over the weekend. It's like you really keep turning the pages. Because I have a marketing background too. So I sense, you know, so I make it exciting. I put you in history. So like you're there and you're reading it. And it's, you know, it's like, wow.
Well, that's awesome because I'm a Marine and everybody knows we like pictures. you know. Yeah. And trust me, I'm surrounded by all kinds of high tech stuff here. Cameras here, lights there, all kinds of stuff. But I mean, you kind of saw before the show, I still have, you know, a calendar with a pin. And you know, and even the missus, she's like, "You have an iPad right in front of you that does that." And I'm like, "But I gotta write it down with a pen." Like,
yeah, I like writing stuff on pens.
Like, I'm not giving that up.
A nerd pad. Yeah.
So I have that too. I got that right here too. You know, where, you know, I scribble something I don't want to forget. Like, I don't want to let those things go. And it's just because like you said, you know, the information is good and you learn, and the pictures, you know, bring that entertainment along with it. You know, it puts you there. I feel like these newer generations are going to miss out on that essence of having, you know, a book in your hands. You know, it just, there was just something magical about that. You know, I love reading, and maybe that's why I feel that way, you know, so much. But with that, Mike, give us a little taste of what you got. You have this book, New World Order, 250 Years of the Globalist Conspiracy in just 1 hour. We're going to even do it a little shorter than that. But where do we start with this? You know, people hear New World Order, dun, dun, dun. But it's like, then you ask them, well, what is it? And they're like, the elite. Well, who's that? Yeah. Well, the cabal. Well, who's that? Right. Well, the New World Order. So educate us, man. Give us a little taste.
Well, that's a big topic. And I originally had boiled it down to a two volume set called Planet Rothschild. That was one of my bestsellers too. Still available at realnewsandhistory.com. That was 300 pages each, 600 total pages, covering 250 years, which is quite a remarkable achievement because it was really a ton of information in there. I wanted to go even more, smaller. I call this nanotechnology history. What I've done with Crash Course NWO is I got it down to 60 pages, and that's with 18-point print. It's like a big children's book, 8.5 by 11, with pictures. So you were mentioning earlier, I like to make the analogy between a juicer. You know, you get a giant bushel of vegetables and you put it in there and you get a little shot glass, which is all the nutrients you need. That's what I like to do with big topics. Okay. And it's 60 pages. It could be read in an hour. And I'll tell you, it will give anybody that you just described who only has a vague concept, it will give them the basic framework of what the New World Order is, what the globalist conspiracy is, what they've done to us over the decades, centuries, and where we are now in just an hour. Okay? And then if you want more, you want to add some muscle and meat to the skeletal structure, then you could read Planet Rothschild. And at the end of NWO Crash Course, there's a $10 coupon if you want the Planet Rothschild volumes. But this is the place to start for newbies and normies, and that's why I did it specifically. But even for us, you know, veteran guys who know the stuff, it's a good handy reference guide. And certainly for people who just know, okay, there's a cabal, there's globalism, there's these bad guys, white hats, they're against Trump, you know, and that's it. This gives you something you can really stand on. And it's about a major event per page that I cover, about 60 major events, starting with the founding of the Illuminati in 1776, which was a secret society which started this whole thing. And then they were discovered and they were banned in Bavaria, but they reconstituted and then they triggered the French Revolution. And I just go through the decades, boom, boom, the French Revolution and the rise of Napoleon, and then the Rothschild family and the British got together and they took down Napoleon and you begin to see, wow, this is the same thing. This is the same common thread from 250 years ago. That sounds like crazy. Well, then remember this, the biggest man in Britain at about 1800 was Nathan Rothschild. Okay. And who's the biggest man today? Sir Evelyn de Rothschild. He died last year. Might have been whacked by the White Hats, to be quite frank with you. And Jacob de Rothschild. So they're right there today. And they are the direct great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandsons of the House of Rothschild going back more than 200 years. Okay? So this is the continuity. You have these old-line families. or you look at a family like the Sulzberger family, the Oaks Sulzberger family bought the New York Times in 1896, already the most influential paper in the country, okay? And right away, they started promoting this view and shaping and coloring the news. Well, here we are, 2023, so that's what? Almost 130 years, one family running the most influential paper in the world, quite frankly. So that's what I managed to do. And once you grasp how deep this thing is, how far back it goes and the history of it, you really appreciate, you know, what we're dealing with in the modern day, which goes to the question of, you know, people say, well, why didn't Trump, you know, get rid of him in his first term? Are you kidding me? You know how vast and how deep and how many of these mafiosos there are worldwide, okay? And this is being done in such a way to avoid a global civil war. It's being done step by step legally in just 8 years. It's remarkable, and we're really going to start seeing the fruits next year. But, you know, again, people who don't know the understanding of how far back, how deep and how vast and how long they've been building this thing up, you're just simply not going to understand what we're up against. So that's why this is important. And I've really managed to pull it off in just a 1 hour read. And I'm telling you, anybody, somebody who doesn't know anything can read this thing and say, oh, I get it. It makes sense now. Okay. And that's lacking in our movement, I believe, you know, because it's such a big topic that even people who understand it, like the back of their hand, they face the problem of, okay, where do I begin? How do I begin to explain this to my coworker, my friend, my brother-in-law? They think I'm crazy. Well, this is it. I'm giving you a weapon here. This is an unbelievable weapon, a tool that really can convert. You know, I mean, the person's got to be open to it, naturally. You know, I mean, a person who have a certain mindset, oh, this is crazy, you know, forget them. But someone who's like somewhat open, who's beginning to ask questions, and that's happening a lot by design, by the way. This whole thing is designed for people to start waking up and ask those questions. Boom, you hit them with Crash Course NWO. And I tell people, you know, get a bunch of these, give them out as gifts. It's highly effective. So that's what I've done. I've created a weapon that anybody can use and, you know, be an instant expert, just drop it on somebody. I think it's a very impressive booklet. When you go through it, you're going to see a lot of things click, 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 click.
I like how you use the analogy that it is a weapon, because 100%, you know, this is an information war. You know, there's psychological operations that are unfolding every hour of every day right now all over this planet. And it's, you know, in my law enforcement career, you know, one of the things, you know, that you learn as time progresses is until you can teach it, you don't really know it. And when you can get this book, you know, or the series of books and understand it, but understand it to the point where you meet that other normie, you know, who was you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever the case may be. And you say, hey, what do you think about this? And they give you, ha ha, you know, or the, right? And it's like, and you can tell them, well, tell me, what about it sounds crazy to you? Like, ask me any question you want that makes you think that this is crazy. And then they present you with question A and you say, you know what? It's a good question. So let me answer it for you. And you go into it, da, 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 da. And at some point during that, you're going to get another one of those and be like, okay, hey, what about that got you? And when you can continually answer the questions, you put the person in a position where one of very few things is going to happen. They're going to be like, the little light bulb is going to go on and be like, tell me more. Or, you know, what's coming is not meant for everybody. You know, not everybody's going to be able to stomach the truth. And you're going to have those people that are just, their discernment, you know, just to keep their own sanity is going to be like, no, they're going to write it off even with truth. And it is what it is. And then you're going to have that person that's going to be like, I don't know, man. And they're going to be driving home and they're going to be thinking about it. And they're going to be like, man, let me look into this. And then they get home, they go to the computer and they're just like, you're working. You know what? Let me check. And they check it. And before you know it, they went down their first rabbit hole. And here you go. And the reason I know that one is very likely is because that's my story, Mike. I was watching the news, and because I'm very new to being red-pilled, I'm watching the news, and I see all these people on the news with these shirts saying, Epstein didn't kill himself. And I see social media, you know, on Instagram, you know, that's where I was, my fight originally started before they took me down. And all these things, you know, Epstein didn't kill himself. So finally, I seen it so many times. I was like, who the hell is Epstein? Why does everybody care so much that this dude didn't kill himself? So, you know, a detective by trade, homicides and undercover. I go to the computer and start typing. And I find this, you know, general articles. And I'm like, that didn't really tell me nothing. So I keep digging and I keep digging. And the next thing I know, everything that I was taught as a detective, I'm now using in the realm of this. Yeah. And I remember thinking to myself, my brother, I have a little brother, and he's been telling me for years, you know, there's different popes, you know, there's this. And I'm just like, man, I'm a cop. Don't come at me with that nonsense. Like, you better bring some tangible, solid evidence. And I would never, he's a little brother, never give him the chance. And he loves life right now because when he watches these shows, he calls me and he's like, told you.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you so important and people like you, you know, doing the work, putting it into a package to where we can consume it, understand it, learn it, and share it, because that's how we get humanity's, you know, consciousness to rise. And that's how we win. And yeah. People need to understand that, like, you know, Mike King is so important. I'll tell you another thing. One, your prices are too cheap, man. Like,
I've been told that.
I totally benefited from it, but I felt dirty, man. I'm like, this should cost a lot more money than what I'm paying. And we need to get you to the point where the demand's so high that you do put the price on these books, what they're worth. Cause I'm telling you, man, you know, just skimming through what I've skimmed through, you're giving the world something great and there's a value to it. And you need to get paid what that value is. You know,
well, thank you. Forward. But I have to tell you that there's quite a few people, they digest the stuff and they say, man, and they'll just send me like a gift because I do these fundraiser drives. So, and that's what's kept me going is the reader support. So there are a lot of freeloaders, but there's a lot of people who appreciate what I'm doing and the importance of keeping me going and growing. If it had not been for Amazon, I would give all my stuff away for free because I had enough revenue coming in from the books. But definitely we all of us doing this work in the digital army have to be supported. You can't just, you know, take the stuff for free and not support the people who are giving you. You have to be, you can't just be a passenger on the boat. You got to be rowing. So it's your time, it's your money, and most importantly, you can't just be a full-time student of this and have your mind blown just for entertainment purposes. You've got to go out and evangelize, otherwise it's just a waste. And that's what I do, you do, and a lot of people do in their own small way, even if it's in their own small circle. And you got to feel people out. And you know, I had the frustration many years ago when you run into these people who are just hardcore normies. And you just keep banging, and you're just up against the wall, and you're so frustrated. You know what? That's a character defect. That's what they are. Let them go. Move on to the next one. There are people out there, even though they don't believe and they're skeptical, if you can penetrate their mind somehow, they'll say, okay, let me hear more. And that's what you're after. So I saw a meme one day. It said, don't worry about getting the sheep. Wake up the lions.
Nice. You know?
Yeah, don't worry. Like wake up the lions. So, and there's a lot of sleeping lions. And you get enough of us wake up, then you create a movement, which is happening now. A lot of that by design, aided and abetted by this international military alliance. And I mean, I have to laugh when people say, oh, there's no white hats. There's no. I mean, you're crazy. Let me tell you something. And you would appreciate this because you were in the military. I wasn't, but you were. But I know just from my research that there has always been an element in the military, in all militaries of all countries, looking out for us, keeping an eye on this cabal, okay? Even though they've been powerless to do anything about it, when they can make a move and do something, they do, okay? Now that we were at the very precipice with that satanic witch, Hillary Clinton, on the brink of being president, to deliver the knockout blow. They finally made a move, an overt move. But I want to give you some precedents that people think about. For people who say that, you know, there's no good guys in the military coming to save us. In 1932, the stock market had crashed. It was a Great Depression. They wanted to get Hoover out of there and get their boy Franklin Roosevelt in there. There was a major agitation. It was called the Bonus Army March. It was led by communists. And they had 40,000 World War I veterans and other people, other communists, were camping out in Washington. They were demanding a bonus that wasn't due to them for another 20 years. And Hoover brought in General MacArthur. General Patton was there, too. And this is long before World War II. And on his own initiative, MacArthur said, this has got to be put down. This is an insurrection. This is a communist insurrection. It was the Antifa of the day. And he just gave the order. They burned the shacks. They tore down the tents. They just kicked everybody out. And the press went nuts. Oh, this is a brutal dictator. This, that, and the other thing. And it hurt Hoover, and FDR got elected. But the moral of the story is people like MacArthur, people like Patton knew that there was a subversive movement going on in this country. And when it came time to deal with something serious, this Bonus Army was getting out of hand, they made their move. Okay? I'll give you another example. During World War II, there was something called the Venona Intercepts. I write about this in my books, V-E-N-O-N-A. You could Google it. What it was the Army Signal Corps, forerunners of the NSA, okay, today's White Hats. They were monitoring all of the communication of the communist traitors within the Roosevelt administration during World War II. And they were engineering World War II in such a way to benefit Stalin. But they had all their communications. They were keeping an eye on these people. President didn't even know about it. This was not declassified until 1995, I think. So this went on all these years. Military intelligence on their own. Congress don't know nothing. President doesn't know anything. They're looking out for us. Okay? You go back to the sinking of the USS Liberty in 1967. The Israelis attacked the Liberty, killed 34 U.S. sailors in broad daylight. They said, oh, oops, we thought it was an Egyptian plane. No, they wanted to sink it and bring us into the war. 6 months later, an Israeli submarine, the Dakar, goes down, never comes up again. Nobody knows what happened to it. Okay? So that's the kind of stuff. I give you many, many examples of military patriots doing stuff on their own, okay, in their own limited way to kind of protect us and keep an eye on things. Now, the problem is that now when you had the NSA, they got everything, right? The email, the text, they know everything about the cabal. They know when they eat, sleep, and drink. It's like one of the Q posts was threatening Lady Rothschild saying, we can hear your family breathing, okay? It was actually a Q post. So they had all this information, but what do you do with it? It's not actionable because it wasn't acquired by a warrant. And that's what this whole Q thing, as you know, is about. Taking this ton of information and injecting it legally and taking these guys down by the book, okay? But it's always been there. The White Hats have always been there. And they've been there in many different countries, too. Whenever there's this threat of a takeover, they make their move because they're the last line of defense. We were not going to solve this problem at the ballot box, I'll tell you that. So the military had to act. And I've been saying for years, if there's any hope, it's going to come from the military. I actually wrote in Planet Rothschild 2012, I wrote this. But I was thinking along the lines of something overt, bang, bang, shoot them up. Never did I foresee something so cunning and so vast, so brilliant, so genius. But having studied this, of course the military has these kind of capabilities, the psychological warfare, the intelligence assets. If you think all the branches of the military, there's 40,000 people who work for the various military intelligence branches. So they got armies of people, and you don't know who's the good guys, who are the bad guys. And I just, this thing is a masterpiece, and I never foresaw it. I did say one day the military could rise up, but I never thought it would be in this way. And it's just a story, and it's the final chapter of this 250-year drama that I write about.
You absolutely nailed it, Mike, because I tell people all the time, you know, put me in a kinetic war because, okay, that guy is shooting at me. That's my enemy. And he's dressed like my enemy and he speaks like my enemy. That's easy. psychological information war is the most complicated, sophisticated, and like you said, masterpiece that exists, because who's the good guys? Who's the bad guys? Buy these books, start studying, and you'll get closer and closer to knowing the truth. But what people need to understand is when we're out in Iraq, we were doing psychological operations out there. You know, I was an infantry unit, you know, but we still facilitated these things. And now when I look hindsight, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, you know, we were putting, you know, translators, you know, guys that look like the populace, we were embedding them in communities. And, you know, we were doing things like, you know, building them, you know, water treatment facilities or fixing their electrical, you know, we're, you know, making them, you know, or facilitating them liking us and accepting us. And with that, you had people come forward that would give us information and give us intel. Everybody, you know, remember the card deck with all those VIP targets? Everybody thinks that we captured those people based off of CIA and NSA. And that's partly true. That intel originated from the locals. And then that information made its way to the spooks. And then those spooks would deploy units like mine and stuff. And we'd go and pick those people up. But here's the thing. If we were doing psychological operations there, because we knew we can't just go in there and start just annihilating people and blowing things up. Like if we truly want to change the trajectory of this community or this country, or, you know, the Shiites here, or, you know, the Sunnis here, you had to study them. You had to know their history. And then you knew how to push propaganda, and that propaganda moved them in the direction you wanted. So now I'm looking back, that's, you know, all the way back 20 years ago, 2003. And I'm like, that's the way we're doing psychological operations then. So why would they change that if they're doing psychological operations on us now? So now it's like, okay, look for the things that we were doing then to them to see what kind of stuff is happening to us now. And this is where people have to understand. Not everybody that says they're retired is retired. You know, right. You know, just because somebody's not in uniform, you know, yeah. These are, it. Like you said, the military is the only way. And I think people are starting to understand what that means. It doesn't mean tanks and planes. They're going to realize what that means. And I'm telling you, man, I'm so excited to dive into your words and your work. Let me ask you this question, and then we'll start wrapping it up. What book, if any, were you like, man, I'm pushing the envelope with this?
I have to go with The Bad War. You know, the my bread and butter that got me on the map, because World War II, I always say, is the foundational mythology which defines the modern world, because the whole quote unquote liberal world order grew out of that war. I mean, the process was building long before then, but this really got the job done. Okay. Look at what came out of World War II. The United Nations, the World Health Organization, the NATO war machine, the CIA, the formation of the State of Israel, the International Monetary Fund, and the framework of the European Union. Okay. You have Winston Churchill. There's video I can show you. A few years later, he says, we're now building the skeletal structure of world government. He said this in front of a group of globalists. So this all came out of the ruins of World War II. I mean, Europe is on its ass. It's been destroyed. Okay. We come in there with our CIA, or the forerunners of the CIA, and then the CIA itself, Marshall Plan, all this money we institute our various governments and politicians in all the countries. And this is the world we live in now. Came out of that. Here's the thing, by design, they had all of these agenda items ready to go, but you needed your war, okay? So that's what it was all about. That's why the war was imposed upon Germany and Japan, both of which were pleading for peace all along, didn't want the war. Now, people say, oh, that's crazy, you know? Really? Why? You don't think they had fake news back then? You don't think they had fake wars back then? On false pretexts? Why would you think that? And that gets people thinking when you present it that way. So people have to stop thinking of World War II as this holy crusade, okay? And even conservatives, everybody's, oh, it's just wonderful. We stopped fascism and Hitler and this and that. And no, that war was fought to advance the globalist agenda. And so was World War I. And really, when you take a historical view, it's World War Part One and World War Part Two. It was basically the same sides and the same agenda. So World War One was like the first blow. It broke up all the old systems of Europe. The Soviet Union went communist, and all these liberal parties were emerging. So there was the League of Nations, which ultimately failed. But a lot of bad things came out of World War One, but it didn't finish the job. World War Two did that. And those world wars, that was the created the new world order of today. And then when you go back to the 19th century, what they were doing is they were setting the table for the future world wars. I'm talking about as far back as 1880s. They were looking ahead to a great war of Europe, which broke out 30 years later. That's how deep this stuff goes. But to your question, that is the most controversial. Because you're not supposed to touch World War II, okay? It's supposed to be Hitler, the monster, FDR, the saint, Churchill, the saint. No. It's like a children's fairy tale. And once you undo that, it alters everything else. It's like going back into a math equation that you know you got wrong, and you go back into earlier calculations. It's like, oh, okay. This decimal point's in the wrong place. This is a positive, should be in there. And you fix that. What does it do? It changes the whole rest of the equation, So it's like gene editing. I go back, I fix World War II, and believe me, you read the bad war, you're not going to look at today's world the same ever again. And that's why they came after me on Amazon.
100%. I like that math equation you did because, one of the things that I share, with the kiddos and stuff, because I always make everything reference to, cop stuff or military stuff, is, if your sights are off, just the hair, At a close target, you're off, a quarter of an inch. 100 yards, now you're off 3 inches. 500 yards, you need to hit
we're kindred spirits. You think just like me. I was just making an analogy the other day to a friend. If two guys are walking along like a foot apart and they start to deviate just a little bit, they're still close. But after a few miles, it's like, where'd he go?
Yep, 100%, so, man.
And that's yeah, but I like to talk in parables and metaphors like that because it gets people's mind going and like, yeah, that makes sense. I refer to myself as a correctionist historian. I like to go back, correct all these errors. And it really is remarkable because once you do that, it's like all of a sudden you come back to the present day. It's like you went in a time machine, you fix something, you come back in the present day, and you're a different person.
I'll tell you what, Mike, mission accomplished. You are good at marketing because I'm freaking pumped up right now. I'm going to start off with with the newest one, and then I'm going to go do the two Rothschilds books, get those under.
Yeah, that's a good order. Yeah.
And I'm excited because here's the thing, even now, like a lot of old movies that I used to watch that I watched that I like, I'm watching them again because there's this certain references that make sense now. You're like, whether it's something as simple as the Truman Show or it's something back to, We Were Soldiers, like you find these things that you're like, was somebody trying to say something here? Was somebody trying to throw us throw us a clue? And one of the reasons I want to read the books on the Rothschilds is that's probably the top, top five questions I always get is what exactly is a New World Order? Who are these Rothschilds? Who are the Khazarians? Or people that are like, hey, Alpha, did we really capture Nazi scientists and bring them here? And that's who's at NASA? So I really want to get myself really educated, because I know enough to talk about it, but I want to be able to tell people, hey, like you were doing this year, this name, that name. I think that's super, super important. Mike, I'll give you the final thought, brother. What would you like the audience to know? And then one more time, go ahead and plug the websites and all that. I'm telling you, audience, go down the description, click the link, take you straight to Mike's store. use promo code or coupon code ALF on there. You'll get a special discount for yourself when you get these things. Mike, where do people find you one more time?
realnewsandhistory.com. That's and is spelled out, realnewsandhistory.com. And as soon as you go there, you'll see you can get an instant report right at the bottom of the page called a free report, and it gets you on the mailing list. The report is called How to Respond to an Anti-Conspiracy Theorist. And you'll see this at the bottom of any page. There's a guy, you know, he doesn't want to hear it. And it's basically a comeback to all of the main arguments that normies bring up when you start talking about conspiracies. Like they'll say, oh, that's impossible. You know how many people would have to be involved in something like that? And then I explain, well, how it is possible because you're using leverage. You don't have to get everybody in on your conspiracy. You just got to get some top players. But yeah, sign up for the free report. You'll see a page where there's articles, tons of free articles. Most of the content is free, and you'll see every single item, whether it's the books or the articles, it's always the same template. Concise, lots of pictures, to the point. You'll be amazed at how quickly you will learn. You will not go back to sleep once you read my stuff. So that's it. Definitely get on the mailing list. And on the books and PDFs page, what I'm going to do is anybody who buys a book and uses a promo code ALFA, like when you're doing the payment form, just let me say just ALFA, I'm going to give them 6 months free of the anti-New York Times, which is my paid newsletter that goes out like maybe 5 days a week. What I do is I take a story from the New York Times and I dissect it. And that's my arch enemy is the New York Times, because they are, I call them the lead attack vessel of the fake news, you know. So you buy anything, whether it's a donation, you buy the PDF package, it's 28 books for $29. That is like stealing. Or you get the paperback form, whatever it is. When you do the payment form, you put ALFA, and I'll put you on this special mailing list to receive 6 months free of the anti-New York Times. That's realnewsandhistory.com.
Freaking outstanding, Mike. I'm excited about it. I'm going to start buying these books because, like I said, I actually want that hard copy. And, man, you need to triple, quadruple that PDF price. I'm serious. You guys, link's down in the description.
Support we'll make it up in volume. Get all your peeps pushing. We'll make it up in volume. Because, you know what? Because I also want as many people to have it as possible. You know, and then sometimes people say, oh, I'm on Social Security. I'm like, don't worry. Here it is, free package. Because really that's what we're after. But at the same time, we got to make a living, and we want to grow. So hopefully if we could do things on volume, I could keep this ridiculous price. I mean, look, what do you pay to get a college degree and you come out, you don't know anything. You spend a few hours on my site. It's not just knowledge, but, you know, as you can tell just by the way we're talking, I have a philosophical bent to me. I also like to teach people how to think. You know, the old adage, give a man a fish, eats for a day, teach him how to fish, he eats forever, you know? Yeah. And I embed a lot of that in my writing, because there really are ways of thinking that once you got them down, you can start to make sense of things on your own without needing, you know, a guru, you know? So
no,
that's absolutely what I do.
Absolutely, yeah. Mike. The conversation's been a pleasure. I look forward to, like I said, diving into these books. I know the audience is going to look into it. If you've already read one of those books and you already know who Mike is, go in the comments. Let me know what book it was. Let me know what you like. If you're going to be a brand new reader like myself, tell me in the comments which book you're picking. And I'll catch you guys tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Stay tuned. I'll come back after the commercial, and I'll let you know who that guest is. See you guys in just a moment.
Are you worried about the effects that higher inflation rates will have on your investments? Are you trying to secure your retirement savings against losses, but you notice that inflation is a hot topic these days? But how dangerous are low inflation rates on your retirement savings? An inflation rate of 2% may not seem like much, but it means that prices will just about quintuple over the lifetime of the average American. And 4% average inflation rate means that something that costs $1 when they're born will cost $23 when they die. That demonstrates the danger of even low inflation rates. So when it comes to gold and inflation rates, many investors want to know whether inflation rates have an effect on gold prices. What history indicates is that over the long term, increased inflation should lead to correspondingly higher gold prices. From September 1971 to August 2020, gold grew 7.5 times as much as inflation. Not only can an investment in physical gold help protect your assets against the damage done by inflation, it can also help grow the value of your retirement portfolio over the long term. If you're looking to protect your retirement assets, why wait until stock markets crash and gold begins to rise in price?
And we're back. So I told you guys I would be telling you who the guest is for tomorrow. Getting something else ready to bring up on the screen. Brooke Jackson, if you guys don't know, big pharma whistleblower. She is taking it to Pfizer. Court stuff is moving in her direction, which is our direction, all of us. And Pfizer's having to acknowledge some things, and they fear this woman. One, we need to keep her in prayer for her safety, because she's literally... You know, like you hear me say multiple times, you know, we all fear the, or I won't say fear, but we all have concerns with the size of the military industrial complex, and the medical industrial complex is even bigger than that. And at the tip of that spear is big pharma. So that's our guest tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Make sure you tune in. And what I'm going to bring on the screen now, the Alpha Warrior Show.tv. You go on here, obviously the quick links, you'll see some sponsors, but one that I want to bring on here specifically is Here We Go. Flynn and Company with my man Boone Cutler. You know, they did these books, Fifth Generation Warfare, you know, The Citizen's Guide, Artificial Intelligence, Session 2, almost double the size, probably even more than double the size of Session 1. You go to my website, you click on that link, takes you to the store. You can buy those books. Listen, they're trying to get away from, you know, Amazon and those places to, you know, get into this citizen parallel economy. And they're coming us, the content creators, the people being voices for you guys to make that happen. So let's help them out. Let's show them that this works, you know, and not buy it from those other places. Go there, click the website. It'll take you to the generals and Boons and awesome Christmas gift. Bunch of other stuff on there. You guys can see my products as well. But I wanted to make sure, I was pretty excited about that, and I wanted to share that with you guys. So this is Alpha. First in, last out. Follow me on Twitter. Get in the trenches with me in this information war at X, Alpha Warrior X. And I know it's not Twitter no more, Alpha. Follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter. I'll see you guys tomorrow night. God bless everybody.